Hello, everybody. Welcome to our weekly group coaching call here for March 1st, 2018. It's great to be with you guys and in the middle of our implementation week. So from what I can tell in the forum, many of you guys are catching up this week. A lot of you completing your website, which is fantastic. You should feel really good about that, really proud. And many of you are kind of on the tail end of that, too. So, you know, if you're not, here's what I would say. Don't get discouraged. Use the next few days to make as much progress as you can. You know, we got the weekend coming up. This is, again, a very doable thing as long as you keep in mind that done is better than perfect. Your site doesn't have to be perfect for you to launch. You just need to have something that's workable, that does a good job of explaining those positioning elements, what you do for whom, what makes you different, and why that difference matters. And you're going to continue to iterate. Believe me, you could spend another 4 months on this stuff and not be any better off. The next week, you will find things you can change and improve. So waiting, agonizing over this is not going to do you any good. All right, so let's do this. We're going to go get started with some questions that were pre-submitted. I'll then open it up for live questions, or, you know, it doesn't have to be a question. Maybe you need some feedback on something, you want to talk through an idea. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. And then what I'll do is I'll move into some website reviews that a few of you have submitted, so we'll go through those as well. I'll remind you when we get to that point, but for the website reviews, it really helps if you have these websites in front of you, and I encourage you to do that. Whether you've done yours already or you're in the middle of it, it's useful if you listen to me going through somebody else's website so you can see what kind of things I'm looking for. And there is a thread inside the forum called the website review thread, and you'll see in the comments area where people have posted their websites. Those are the ones that I'm going to be reviewing. You'll see some have been marked as already reviewed as replies to comments from me, but we'll pick up where we left off. So just to let you know, that's where you're going to find the websites I'm going to be reviewing. And again, that's inside the forum and the website review thread. All right, at any point during the call, you can dial star two on your telephone keypad. That will raise your hand, and that way when we get to open live Q&A, I'll just go ahead and call on you. You can do that at any time. My system keeps a queue, keeps track of who raised their hand first, second, and so forth. All right, pre-submitted questions. Nadine asked, if I did a guest post, can I use that as part of my portfolio? So, yeah, if you wrote a guest blog post somewhere, can that be a piece that you can include in your portfolio? And my answer is absolutely. Use what you have. You know, don't prejudge. Don't say, well, this is not that great. It's okay. It's on a different topic. Doesn't really fit my target market. Don't do any of that. Just use whatever you've got. I told you, I think in the last Q&A call that my first few samples were not impressive at all. These are pro bono samples that I had done for a variety of different people. I'm going after the software market, and none of these samples were in the software market. And I just used what I had. I just knew that eventually somebody would hire me based on their current situation. And if they needed to see something more targeted to what they were doing or their market, it's not that they were a bad prospect. They just were not a good prospect for me right now. So use whatever you got, Nadine, and you'll be able to replace these one at a time as you start getting samples from other clients that are more closely aligned with the market you're going after. Okay, Gordy had a couple of questions. First, he says, I purchased two domains a few months back. My name is Gordon Gregg, but that was already taken. I have always gone by the name Gordy, so I bought GordyGregg.com as one of my domain names. The other one was GK4 Copywriting for Gordy, Kim, and four boys, my wife and four sons. Will using GordyGregg.com cause confusion when it comes to getting paid? Or is GK4 copywriting okay, or will there be problems with that? I don't think it really matters, Gordy. I would use whatever sounds best to you. I mean, if it were me, I would go with GordyGreg.com, especially if that's how you go. If you go by that name, and if you introduce yourself to prospects that way, then I think that's completely fine. GK4 copywriting, I mean, that works too. But my preference, I would lean a little bit more on GordyGreg.com, and there's a couple of reasons for that. I think the biggest one, it's clear. Nobody's going to mistype it. You do have two G's in your last name, but I mean, I wouldn't worry about that. And it's also more flexible. I've seen this several times with people I've coached as they've grown in their business. In fact, I got somebody right now who's in that situation. They'll pivot and they'll change direction slightly over the years. And they're going to rebrand. They're going to start going after a different target market. They're going to do a different type of work. I got somebody right now. He was going after companies that sell to nonprofit organizations. And he's doing a lot more agency type work. So he's repositioning himself as more of a mini agency where he can, and I won't get into all the details. The point is, you know, his current domain right now has something to do with, it has the word copywriting in it. Well, because he's going to be transitioning into a different type of work, which has kind of evolved organically, he realized that he was going to need to start rebranding. It was just going to help. Because with his current clients, that's not going to be an issue. They already know him. But if he's going to start going after more of that work with people who don't know him, that's going to create some confusion. So he's having to rebrand to something a little different, and he's changing his domain name to something more generic that won't just say copywriting, that where it's more flexible and he can talk about other services that he offers. So if you go with GordyGreg.com, that gives you that kind of flexibility. If you end up pivoting or shifting gears a little bit over time, and then you won't have to do this massive overhaul where now you got to switch, get a different domain name, and so on and so forth. So that would be my suggestion. Gordy also asked, in reading over the materials about websites, I started to wonder about site maintenance and the time involved with that. I would rather spend time prospecting and writing than on site maintenance. Am I making too much out of this? I wouldn't worry about it, Gordy. It's, you know, when you get to that point, you can hire a virtual assistant who can do that for you. I'm the same way. I can't stand that stuff. I just don't have the patience. It's not in my skill set, and I just don't really want to learn that stuff. And I get frustrated by things that are constantly changing and, you know, updating your site and updating your plugins and all that. That's just it's a headache. For me, based on my skill set, I have no interest in staying on top of how to do that. And so, you know, my rule is if it's somebody else can do it better, faster, cheaper, and they actually enjoy it, and I don't enjoy it, then it's a no-brainer for me. You can find a VA who could do that for you. There are tons of them who do that kind of work for very little. I mean, I'll give you an idea. Here, and we have a more complex business with several different websites, we got somebody who does that for us for $100 a quarter, okay? So $400 a year, and again, you won't even pay anything close to that, I would think. We have more going on there. So, I just find somebody who could do that. If it sounds like a headache, you know what? You're right. Some people say, hey, I actually think that's kind of cool. I like just tinkering, and that's fine. I mean, if you enjoy it. But if you don't, if it sounds like a headache, find somebody who does it better, faster, cheaper. Gordy also asked, do freelancers need to have a business license? And do freelancers need business insurance? Okay, two different questions. Business license, you have to check with your state and municipality, state, province, municipality. So I can't really answer that question, not only because I'm not qualified, but also because I know that it varies. You just have to check and just do a quick Google search. Let's say you live, you know, like I live in Georgia. I just typed do you need a business license in Georgia? And to Google, and right away I got an answer. And basically says that my state doesn't require a general business license. Once you have obtained a valid business tax certificate, your business may legally operate throughout all of Georgia. So you just really have to look at your specific situation. And again, consult with an attorney if you have concerns or questions. They'll be able to better tell you. In terms of business insurance, that's also up to you. I did a podcast a couple of years ago, and let me find the I'll tell you which episode. Episode 24, b2blauncher.com/episode24. And it's about professional liability insurance and errors and omissions insurance, when to consider it, where to get it, how much it costs, and all that. My advice would be, look, when you're starting out, this can easily become a stalling tactic. I'm not saying that's you, Gordy, but I see a lot of people say, well, you know, the next few weeks I just got to look into that and look at my options. And it becomes a way to stall their progress. You know, I'm not going to start prospecting or get my website up until I get that figured out. My advice generally, this is not legal advice of any kind or financial advice of any kind. This is just more practical advice, is to get going, get established, get a few clients under your belt. It's fine if you want to, in parallel, look into some of this, but don't really worry about getting anything until, you know, you have your business has a little bit of momentum. Something that some of my colleagues have done in the past is they don't really worry about it until they have a client who insists that they have a liability policy. And you'll see that in some cases. I see it more kind of in the healthcare industry with some of the big healthcare companies. They just require all their freelancers and contractors to have a basic business liability policy or errors and omissions. And from what I've seen for writers and copywriters, this will cost you anywhere between $500 and $1,500 a year. So again, it's not something that I would necessarily worry too much about at this point. You want to get some business under your belt first. Mike asked, if you use your name for your website, how do you handle payments? State business name and the fee agreement? Exactly. And you know what? Gordy had kind of alluded to that as well. So this is a question both of you brought up. Don't worry about the name on your website and, you know, in terms of people getting confused, in terms of who to make the payment out to. When you invoice the client, state on your invoice whom to make the payment to or how to make that payment. So because you might go, for instance, my website was branded as Ed Gandia Copywriting, but in my invoice I clearly stated make your check out to Gandia Communications Incorporated. Okay, so that's really what counts. That is what their accounts payable department is going to see, and that's what they're you need to have in the states in your W-9. In your W-9 that you send to your client, the states your business name and tax ID and so forth, then you want to have your name there, and that's usually going to be who your client would make the payment out to. So, yeah, don't worry about the branding on your site and creating confusion there in terms of payment. That's not really going to be an issue. Just make it very clear on your invoice who to make the payment out to. I did find that when I was getting started, you know, some of these smaller clients that I was working with would they would make the check out to me personally, even though I already had a business name. So a couple of instances I just went ahead and deposited, but somebody advised me, look, you really don't want to do that. You want to, especially if and when you incorporate, you want to make sure people make these checks out to the corporation, the business, and not you. All right, let me see. I think that was all that was pre-submitted. I think there was another question somewhere in here. Guys, and just to make sure I don't miss any pre-submitted questions, let me go ahead and just make this clear now while I have you and while I'm thinking about it. The best place to pre-submit questions for the call is in the call page. If you log into the training portal, you pick the next call, whether it's, you know, 3 days from now or, you know, later today or while it's happening, just go ahead and type in your question there. My system for these calls keeps track of all these questions, and then that way I just have one place to go find them. It's not that I'm, you know, just trying to be a pain. I just want to make sure that I don't miss any, and if they're in different threads here in the Facebook forum, I may miss some, so I want to make sure I don't do that. Okay, I think that was it. Let me just double check here with this other thread. Yeah, I think that was it. If I miss anything, again, I apologize, but just if you're on, please do raise your hand or just submit your question there on the call page. All right, so star two, if you have a question, want to talk through an issue, I'm here for you. All right, let's see. A couple of people submitted a question. Susan just sent in a question. Hi, Ed, regarding the testimonial part of the website, since we are new, the only testimonials I have are from non-copywriting experiences, my years as an elementary principal. They attest more to my character, work ethic, et cetera. How many of those would you suggest I use? Yeah, absolutely. And Susan, that's very common. In fact, I would be surprised if, you know, many of you had more than that. You're just starting from scratch. Use what you have. What you want is testimonials that attest to exactly what you said, your character, work ethic, credibility, experience, anything like that definitely helps. In terms of how many, I would just, however many you have that you think are worth posting. The luxury of having quite a few is that you can pick and choose the best ones. So, you know, it's not about quantity as much as it is quality. I'd like to see you post at least three, but if you have eight, you know, pick the best five or six. And if they're all outstanding, then use them all, you know. But we all, typically what happens is you'll have a couple that are not that detailed or not that great or just kind of blah. Then I would just go ahead and skip those. What will happen, Susan, is as you work through this, as you start growing and start working with clients and you get testimonials, you'll be able to replace some of those if you want, or you can just add to it. What I did is I went ahead and pushed them down. So my newest ones from clients that I was getting, I would put at the top, and then I would just that would just push the other ones down. And eventually I would just trim from the bottom of that list because I posted them in order of impressiveness, if you will. And LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great place to just copy and paste. You know, they call them recommendations there, but that's, you know, usually where a lot of people have kudos that they've received. And Rafiq said, yep, just a reminder to review the homepage of my website. I'll be joining at the top of the next hour. Yeah, absolutely, Rafiq. So I got that on the website thread. I'll be taking a look at that. Okay. All right, we got a hand raise, and this is, I don't have a name, but it's a Colorado phone number, 5550, last four digits. You're on.
Yes, this is Gabrielle.
Hey, what's up, Gabrielle?
I'm doing fine. I have a question I just thought of, so I didn't submit
okay.
it. I need some more portfolio material. And I wanted to write white papers, but I haven't written one at all. I've only written term papers. I know they're somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea what topics to go for. I just wanted to write a couple of general white papers just about business, and that's it. Do you know where I can get ideas?
So are you saying that you'd like to write like a fictitious white paper?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, you could.
For it in advance.
Well, so here's the thing. You could do that. My recommendation, however, is that you find someone who could use something like that and then write it for free. There's a big difference. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and take the time, I think you're better off working with another person for a couple of reasons. One, first, somebody will actually use it, so you'll benefit somebody else. It's not any more work than it would be if you did it yourself, kind of for a fictitious company. I think you also it makes a big difference in terms of the quality of the work. You know, when you're making the stuff up, you could do anything, right? I mean, you could even make up some of the statements and claims, and because the point is not necessarily that. The point is to show your capability, but that's not the same. Like, you don't learn. It's like, in a way, I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's like cheating in a way. And then the fourth thing is there's something magical about working with a client, even if you're not charging them anything for the work, that you can't replicate if you're doing it on your own. That just interaction and that experience of working with another, with a business or with an individual, that's very, very valuable. So what I'm going to do is we're going to start talking about that, by the way. So we're going to talk about in the next two sessions how you can go about that. And there's several strategies that I've used and taught that are work really well, and that would be my advice rather than writing one for yourself. But I'll just give you one of them right now, because I mean, it's pretty straightforward, is finding a group on LinkedIn or on Facebook of small business owners. I mean, if you can find them in your target market, even better. Small businesses, and for instance, small construction companies, and then just join a few of these groups, because you got to try them out, make sure that there's some good conversation happening, and join the conversation and contribute ideas, you know, on things that you can actually help with, you know, anything related to marketing. And then once you've become kind of a regular, this won't take long, maybe a week, once you've become a regular contributor, then go ahead and post an offer to do a pro bono project for somebody in the group and explain the reasoning. Hey, I'm getting started. I've been writing for a long time, but I'm trying to restart my business. I'm trying to get some new writing samples, and I figured this would be a win-win, you know, for us. The only thing I ask is that, you know, here's a sample of what I might be able to write for you. The only thing I ask is that, or you could be very specific. It could be a white paper or a report. The only thing I ask is that if you like it, that you give me a, you know, 3 or 4 sentence blurb, which I can help you write, by the way, since I'm a writer. That kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. That sounds like a great idea. I'll do that.
That's exactly what I did when I was getting started. And back then, there was no LinkedIn or Facebook, but Yahoo forums were really big. And I found one of small online business owners, and I did exactly what I just described. I contributed ideas, answered questions, so I became kind of a regular member for a week or a week and a half. And then I posted that offer.
Okay.
And it worked great. Within 24 hours, I had more than three people, but within 24 hours, I had, I want to say, like a dozen people respond, and I picked the best three. And,
wow.
It was fantastic. I had three samples in just a matter of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. That
makes
was
sense.
Probably reports. Yeah, that was probably reports, because white papers take, 3 or 4 days at least, even on a small one with the research.
Well, yeah, and, you know, at the time when I started, I didn't even know what white papers were. I was positioning myself as a lead generation copy B2B writer or copywriter. So I was focused on lead generation. So I was writing sales letters, lead generation emails, that kind of thing. So that's really what they were. But none of them were really long. These were short, couple of pages each kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna post in the forum this afternoon. I'll post a link to an article I wrote where I actually showcase the samples that I started out with, and two of them mm-hmm. are from that this effort, because I want you guys to see like what I started out with. Not impressive at all. I cringe when I read them now. But it worked. I had samples, you know. So you could mm-hmm. do the same thing, absolutely, with white papers. You may have to, you know, depending on the audience, they may not know what a white paper is. So you may have to say, you know, a report, you know,
okay.
something like that. You may have to use different language.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. You're welcome. Okay, again, star 2, if you have a question, want to talk through anything, need feedback. Or if you want to let me know where you are in this process. You know, I'd love to hear where you are. If you found some challenges and either you're stuck somewhere, or if you were stuck and now have been able to push past maybe an obstacle you were facing, or you now are feeling like you're on the right track, would love to hear about that as well. Don't want to put anyone on the spot, but if you want to share any of that, feel free. Don't be shy. We're all family here. All right. Well, since I don't see any questions, let's do this. Let me go to the website review thread, and let's look at a couple of these. Let me go find that. Guys, again, if you have questions during the call or that you want me to answer during the call, please don't post them on Facebook, because there's a good chance that I'll miss it. So go to the call page. The call page is inside the training portal. So log in to the B2B Business Launcher training portal. Go to the calls area. Click on today's call, and there's a field there where you can submit a question. And so that way, that's what I'm monitoring. So if I'm monitoring 3 or 4 different things, there's a decent chance that I'll miss some of these, and I want to make sure I don't miss anybody's questions. Before I get there, let me answer. Cheryl had a question, follow-up to Gabrielle's. How important is it to have samples on your website? Do you think not having them reduces your credibility as a writer? Okay, if you have them, great. However, I don't want this to become an obstacle to you getting started. So the answer, just to flat out give you a straight answer, is you don't need them, okay? I'd rather say, if you don't have any right now, I don't want you to take 2 months to try to get some samples and then get started. Again, guys, the reasoning behind that advice is the longer it takes you to land that client, the higher the probability that you'll lose hope and give up and quit. We don't want that. Quick wins in this business are extremely important. This is like weight loss, you know. This is why these programs that focus so much on losing those first 8 to 10 pounds, why those tend to be more successful than those that don't. They know, these people know, Weight Watchers and some of these others, they know that if they can give you results as quickly as possible, you're going to be very motivated to keep going. Same thing here. This is the equivalent of landing those or losing those first 10 pounds. So if you don't have them, just go with what you've got. Here's why. Your background, your experience, the way you position yourself, that's usually good enough to get going, especially the way I'm going to teach you to go about finding your first 2 or 3 clients. So you know, we're not trying to impress IBM right now or Microsoft or Dow Chemical. We're really just trying to get some clients, and many of these clients aren't going to need to see this impressive portfolio. For a variety of reasons, they're going to be ready to go with you with whatever you've got. So the more you tell yourself, oh, I can't move forward because I got to have this, the longer it'll take you to get going. And again, I've already explained that. So get started. If you don't have that page right now, just don't even show it on your navigation on your website. And then once you have a couple of samples, then go ahead and post them there. Okay, website review thread. Make sure I pick up where I left off. Okay, Rafiq, and let me jot down when I'm doing this so I can post it, timestamp it in the forum. All right, so let's see. Let's look at, he wanted me to just take a look at his homepage. He reworked it and wanted to make sure that this is on target. Highly effective. So again, guys, it makes sense if you follow along, and if you go to the website review thread, just kind of scroll down, you'll see a link to Rafiq's page. Highly effective tech sales and marketing copywriting. That's his headline. All right. I think this is a decent headline, but it's got some fluffy words. Highly effective is just filler. My suggestion, I'm not a big believer. I mean, brevity is important, but if you have something that's longer and it hits the mark, then I'm fine with that. I'd rather see something that really grabs the reader, even if it's longer. So it sounds like you were trying to go after something very concise, which is great. But because of that, first of all, I would take out highly effective. That's just fluff. And then that leaves you with high-tech sales and marketing copywriting. So what makes it, I would give this like a B-. What keeps it from being a C or below is that at least you're naming your target market, right? High-tech sales and marketing copywriting. It's very obvious. Okay, great, that's who we are. So it sounds like you write for companies like ours. So that's a big thumbs up. However, I think you can make it stronger if you added an element of your background. You know, you have a great background in tech, and you're used to writing these pieces. Somehow that should be in your headline, I believe. And I think you can come up with something that will, you know, high-tech sales and marketing copywriting from an industry veteran. I'm not saying that should be your headline, but you see how that's more impactful than highly effective high-tech sales and marketing copywriting. So I think that 1-2 punch, that's what I would go with. It's not just naming your target market, but then bringing in an element of your background and what makes you different. All right, the next thing I would say, just looking at the body copy itself, it's still too long, Rafiq. I'm not even doing a word count, but it's already too much. Again, try to resist the temptation to tell the whole story on your homepage. All you're trying to do is give them enough to get them to go deeper in the site and learn more. All you need to do is present a challenge that relates to them, something that's relevant to them and tied to what you do. So do you, like you started out, ask a series of questions. I don't think you need as many as you have here. You have three. And the other thing I'm noticing is these are very long sentences. These are very long questions. The litmus test I use when writing and editing website copy is reading it out loud. And if when I read it out loud, I'm starting to run out of air or it just feels unnatural if spoken, that's when I go ahead and edit. So let me read this. Do you build sophisticated software products or SaaS offerings that solve complex market needs but have trouble communicating their value to your customers? That's a lot. Okay, so you need to break these up. And because you have three questions and they're already really long, I think what I would do is I would consolidate these or take some out. That way, you end up with two or three questions, but they're all shorter. Second question you have here, do you struggle to have an outside-in perspective and distill your solution's value proposition such that it really resonates with your target audiences? There's a lot going on there, a lot of words. I think you can really trim that down. Third question, are you having trouble finding a writer who can do all this for you, one who actually understands tech and can translate that into business value in a compelling way? Again, very long. So I suggest condensing all of these, taking out a lot of unnecessary words. When you read them out loud, they should be very straightforward, very easy to read, very easy to say out loud. Then stop looking. You've come to the right place. So I think that's fine. I create sales, silent sales machines, sales and marketing messages and collateral that when done right, work tirelessly 24/7 to bring in quality leads and drive market traction. Okay. One quick point I wanted to make. I think this is fine. You're suggesting, look, I write marketing and sales pieces that that bring you business. I mean, in a nutshell, that's what you're saying. And I think that's fine. The one thing I would make sure that you can answer is, you know, do you do this already? So anytime you get into the results area, so in other words, hey, I help you generate business, I help you bring in leads and close sales, then you need to have matching confidence to back that up. So, and that's fine. You may have it. I just want to make sure you can answer that. Otherwise, you're better off by saying, I help you write these materials. And you're not saying, these materials are going to bring you all kinds of sales and, you know, you generate all kinds of leads. You're just saying, I work with you to write these pieces that help you generate more leads, persuade more prospects, get them moving through the sales process. So you see the difference? One is a little bit softer and doesn't talk about very specific results or bottom line results. Okay, so just a check in there. And then, so I think this is an opportunity from here on down to really trim this. I'm also unique among copywriters. I speak tech, business, and story. So here's what I would do, Rafiq. For these three areas, you go into more depth. I think this copy, all of this from I speak tech, business, and story, all of this really fits in your Why Me page. That's when you can really talk about, hey, I speak tech, I speak business, I speak story, and then explain each. So that's definitely Why Me page material. And instead, I would replace this on your homepage with I speak tech, business, and story. That means specifically I can, you know, I have the tech background, I have the business savvy, the business knowledge, and the storytelling capabilities. And then add that element about you and your industry background, two sentences tops, and then learn more about what makes me different here or check out some of my samples here. That's it. So I think that's one of your biggest opportunities right now to trim this is from there down to the bottom of the page. One quick thing that I just noticed is if you're going to hyperlink text, make sure it's not just one short word. So second to last sentence, I have a track record of quality and reliability. See what others have to say about my work, and say is the only hyperlinked word. I suggest hyperlinking that whole sentence. See what others have to say about my work. That way it's more obvious. And then I'm fine with you have keeping that last sentence or last couple of sentences. Have a project in mind. Great. I'd love to connect. Give me a call here or send me an email here. So I'm fine keeping that. It's really just from I am unique among copywriters all the way to I have a track record of quality and reliability. That really belongs in your Why Me page. And instead, what you can do is you can touch on that here on your homepage, but you're distilling all of that into two, three sentences. That's it. And you can expand on it in your Why Me page. That's when you really have that opportunity to dive deeper into each of those. And again, the biggest thing is going to be that and your headline. But hey, overall, great work. I think this is a lot closer than you know what you had started out with. A lot closer to where it needs to be. All right, so let's go to Marissa's website. That's the next one listed here or posted on the website review thread. All right, so here's what I'm looking for. First, homepage, look and feel. I like it. It's clean. It looks professional. Is the copy under 200 words? Yes, absolutely. Let's look at the headline next. Does it touch on a challenge or clearly state a target market? A B2B and B2C content writer and copywriter for millennial-focused small businesses and organizations. Yeah, I think that's good. You know, for some reason, like what really stuck out here was the word So A B2B and B2C content writer, I would take out A. Because what that communicates is, well, I'm one of many. Instead, just take it out, B2B and B2C content writer and copywriter for millennial-focused small businesses and organizations. I think that's stronger. It implies that, you know, you're the one. And I would play around. So here's what I think. I would grade it as a B2B plus. I would keep playing around with it. I think you can make it an A minus with some very small changes. One thing I would consider is moving the B2B and B2C to a little bit further down. So that way it starts content writer and copywriter for millennial-focused B2B and B2C small businesses and organizations. That just feels more natural to me. Plus, you get to the content writer and copywriter a little bit sooner. B2B and B2C are not as important. Okay, moving on down. Do you feel lost in translation when talking to a millennial? Do you need copy or content that speaks to the millennial generation? If you answered yes to these questions, I'm your writer. I'm a freelance writer who specializes in writing. So you've already said I'm your writer, so I wouldn't say I'm a freelance writer. And again, no A. Take out the word A. So I would say, if you answered yes to these questions, I am your writer. I specialize in writing copy and content for the millennial audience. As part of this generation, I understand not every millennial is one size fits all. We are parents, entrepreneurs, activists, students, Comic-Con goers, professionals, gamers, etc. Millennials have a lot of buying power, but don't necessarily make decisions in the same way as their predecessors. You need to make sure your copy and content speak their language. I'll work with you to make sure your copy and content are bold, engaging, authentic, and tailored to your audience. Yeah, very nice. You've already said copy and content right before that, so I would say I'll work with you to make sure your marketing and sales materials are bold, engaging, authentic, and tailored to your audience. Let's make your copy work. Want to know more? Find out why I'm a writer. Ready to work? Shoot me an email. Okay. All right. So let's go to Why Me page. So I don't have anything else there. I think just those small tweaks. You know, you got right to the point. Let's look at. Well, there is something I would suggest. You have the what you do. You have the for whom. You have some of what makes me different, what makes you different, that you're part of this generation and that you focus on this target market. I think because this is kind of a different approach to your target market, to the way you're positioning yourself, I think the fact that you're targeting companies that target millennials, that in a way can be a differentiator, plus the fact that you are one. I think what might be missing, and you don't need much, because again, the Why Me page is where you can expand on this, and I haven't looked at that page yet, but add a little bit about what you currently do, Marissa. If I remember correctly, you know, you're working with millennials right now in a writing lab. So if there's any way you can just show, look, I have this experience. Again, it doesn't have to be more than a sentence. That would add a little bit more oomph. It's kind of like the third leg in the stool. You have two legs already. That'd be one more to consider adding. So that would be the only other thing. So let's move on to the Why Me page. Why Me? Okay. Let's look at the headline. I know your audience because I am your audience. I think that's brilliant. That's excellent headline. I love how you broke it down, these three check marks: customized, high quality, effective. Whether you're marketing to young professionals, entrepreneurs, or outdoor enthusiasts, I'll ensure you kind of, okay, very nice. High quality, I pay close attention to detail. Yep, so this is good, but what's missing is expanding on this, I am your audience. Now, there's not much you can expand on there, right? Oh, well, I happen to be this age, and right, the statement says it all. However, again, if there's something you can add about the work you've been doing that further emphasizes this, I would go ahead and add it. It really just ties everything together. Because right now, your headline is really your true differentiator. The others are kind of nice to have. Well, I customize it. It's high quality. It's effective. Those are things anybody else could say, right? But being a member of that audience is a big thing that many I can't say it. And then your work right now, the work you've been doing over the past few years, I think is a key element that would add more oomph, again, to this page. What are those said about my writing? Yeah, this is great. A couple of testimonials. I like that you've broken this up. It's clean. It's easy to read. It's easy to skim. Fun stuff about me. I thoroughly enjoy anything Star Wars related. I also have an affinity for classic muscle cars and classic rock. Yeah. Very cool. So you added some personal stuff in here. You know, if you can add a picture, that's always nice. Just, I don't know, creates a stronger connection with you. So I think this is a good pay. I would just say, just if you can add more of that current experience you've had over the past few years, it will add more power to this. All right, let's move on to the services page. Yep, pretty straightforward. Web copy, blogs, newsletters, video scripts, emails. The only thing I would say here, Marissa, what I look for in the services page is just start off the page reminding the prospect what makes you different. So just a little bit of intro copy, two sentences or so, that just says, you know, that talks about the fact that you are in that audience, that you work with this audience, that it's important that you communicate differently, that it's nuance. It's nuanced communication. You just want to hit on that. I know it might sound repetitive, but the way people read websites, they don't read every page from top to bottom. And they may not necessarily land on your homepage. They may land here. So you want to make sure that each page can kind of stand on its own. You don't need to rehash every single word from page to page. Of course, you want to vary that up a bit, but that's what's missing here. And then you have your services, so that I think that's fine. If you have something in mind that you don't see listed, you say, please feel free to reach out. Love you. Perfect. And then you got a call to action. So good stuff. Let's look at samples. Below are some samples of my writing. These were all written with a millennial generation in mind. Showcase how I can tailor my writing style into a specific market. Yeah, there you go. Use what you have, you know, and you did. Video script. Very cool. So you can see, not a ton of changes, and I think you're good to go. Good job, Marissa. Okay, let's go to the next one. And again, guys, at any point, if you have any questions, just star two on your telephone keypad, and we can go back and forth. So we don't necessarily have to go through all these websites. If you got a question, I'll come to you, and then we can just sprinkle these websites throughout. Moving on, the website review thread to Renee's site, Kingdom Business Writing. All right, so let me just jot down 49 minutes, Renee. All right, overall look and feel, clean, professional, under 200 words of copy, yes. All right, so let's look at the headline. Does it touch on a challenge, clearly state the target market, helping your business or ministry build God's kingdom through biblically based written communication? Okay, so you've clearly stated whom you help, and I mean, that's all very clear in what you do. So that's good. You have some of the elements in here that would make a headline good. So let's look at the body copy. You're in need of someone with solid writing skills, a business-savvy writer with a kingdom mindset. When closely acquainted with your brand, who tailors your message to reach the hearts and minds of those you serve. Okay. One quick thing. I would not use red or any other colors in your body copy, Renee. I know you're trying to emphasize, but I think you can do that by your choice of words. And what it does do is it makes me wonder if these are hyperlinks. I'm confused. You do not want to create confusion with readers and visitors. So keep it the same color. I think it's fine if you want to bold some of them. Of course, you can easily overbold. So keep that to a minimum. That way, what you truly want to emphasize is what you'll do. I think there's maybe a little bit too more bolding as well. And then the other thing I would not do is to underline copy, because people think that is a hyperlink. So I'm here to help. That sentence is underlined and bolded. The fact that it's there on its own stands out already, so you don't need to do either one of those. So I would choose maybe just two places to bold, and then that's it. Again, keep the rest of the text the same color, and do not underline any other text. Okay, so let me keep going with the second paragraph. You want a skilled user of words who goes beyond the project at hand to become a trusted go-to partner for your organization, a person who understands you. Okay, I'm Renee. I would continue. Hi, I'm Renee. I would, unlike most writers, I would not make that a separate paragraph. I don't think you need to. That way, what it'll do is it will make sure that I'm here to help pops. Otherwise, it's not going to be, the emphasis is not going to be as strongly on that. Hi, I'm Renee, and like most writers, I offer a strong balance between sound biblical knowledge, practical application of biblical principles, and business acumen. This blend of versatility allows me to understand the big picture of your purpose and vision from a business perspective and help deliver your message using language. Okay, that sentence is too long. So this blend of versatility allows me to understand the big picture of your purpose and vision from a business perspective and help deliver your message using language that resonates and moves to action those you're aiming to reach. Definitely too long. I'd break it up into at least two different sentences, maybe even three. See how my combined spiritual and professional background can benefit you here. Okay. So I'll give you some tips and ideas there. So now let's look at it overall. Is it clear whom you helped, whom you can help? I think it is. But it's kind of implied. I think you can probably make that a little bit clearer. I work with these types of organizations to help them with this. You don't, as far as I can tell, you don't come right out and say that. I think it's important that you do. So what types of organizations? I don't know if right now I'm left to wonder if we're talking churches, Christian organizations, Christian-based businesses. I'm not really sure, and you want to make sure you call them out. It's very, very important. I think you do a good job of why you're different. I offer a strong balance. Yeah. So I think you do a good job there. What would make it even better is if you tie that into the writing, the fact that you're a good communicator. So you offer this balance between sound biblical knowledge, practical application of principles, and business acumen. So let's bring in the writing. Plus, you know, I have this writing ability. Of course, that's not going to be the actual words you use, but I'm a very effective communicator, and I combined all these skills to, you know, help you do X. Okay, so that's the only thing missing, I think, in the what makes me different. And here again, you don't have to expand on that too much. You're just trying to distill your core differentiator here on the home page. You can expand on that on the Why Renee page. All right, you have a call to action, so we're good. All right, so let's move on to the Why Renee page. Why Renee, I combine my life's work, education, and faith to produce compelling written communication that helps position your organization to be a top contributor toward advancing the kingdom of Christ. Okay, good, but here again, long. So break that up into two sentences. And again, use the read it out loud test, and that will show you where a natural break would be. I offer three core advantages. And again, I won't mention this again, but just to remind you, don't use red. Just keep it all the same color and keep it all black or the dark gray. Number one, in-depth knowledge and practical application of biblical principles. If your business or ministry serves the body of Christ, you want to be share biblically sound information and promote spiritual growth. Yeah, I like number one, business acumen number two. And I like that you have these in threes, by the way. That's really smart. It's a very natural number to go with. So here again, under number two, you're bolding quite a bit. It's losing its effectiveness. Same thing with italics. So you have, in some cases, both bolding and italics. So I would tone this down and just pick the one or two that you just really want to highlight and just bold those. Number three, you trusted go-to partner before starting out your project. I think this is all good, Renee, and I just got an idea. I think what's missing here is you have to dig deep to find how you can help. If I'm a member of your audience, I'm trying to understand. And it's there, but it's not as concrete as I would like. And it's almost like you need to come up with a one-sentence explanation of how you bring value to your target market. Something that it reminded me of is, I haven't been here in a while, but there's a website out there, I don't know if they're still around, called, I think, Church Marketing Stinks or something like that. And what I love about it is they took something that a lot of people kind of know and have felt, but they expressed it in one sentence. You know, church marketing stinks, or I don't know if it was sucks or bad, but it was something along those lines. And I got it. I immediately got it. And you need something like that. You need to be able to say, you know, I take this message and help you tell it in a way that will resonate immediately and at a deep level with your target audience. I'm not saying that should be it, but you need to come up with something that explains succinctly what it is you bring to the table. Again, it's here, okay? It's here, but it's you're burying it. It's buried. It needs to come to the surface. So I would ask yourself that question. If you just had one, if you only had 5 seconds to say it, what would you say? Give yourself that kind of constraint, and I give it some time. I think you'll find it, and that's what needs to pop. That's what you need to keep repeating. That's what's going to make your headlines stronger, because right now it's a little convoluted. It's not. It's muddy. It's not as clear to me. Okay. All right, let's look at the bio page. Again, I would get rid of the red text. Just turn that, keep it all the same color. Okay. I like it. I like that you went with a story approach. So again, I mean, today I'm reading towards the end of the page. Today I'm a kingdom-minded entrepreneur using my writing skills to serve and partner with like-minded sisters and brothers in Christ to further his kingdom work. Perfect example of, you know, the message is in there, but it's foggy to me. And I think you need to make it really concrete. There's a really good book out there, and it's, you know, it's about 10 years old, but it's a fascinating read. And in fact, I just picked it up again after I read it a few years ago, Made to Stick. And they talk about this idea of your ideas need to be clear and concrete. Don't bury them in a lot of this text. People should be able to quickly tell what it is you do in a memorable way, hence Made to Stick. If you haven't read it, I strongly recommend it. Again, not something you need to read cover to cover before you update your copy, nothing like that. But I think it's something you could read on the side that will really help you with anything in your work. And anybody here in this group, not just for your own copy and your own marketing, but also when you're working with clients. It's going to force you to be really clear about what message you're trying to convey for yourself or for your clients. Okay, so again, I think this is good, but again, it's not concrete. Your message, what it is you help them with, and whom you help, kingdom-minded, brothers and sisters, like-minded sisters and brothers in Christ. I mean, this is very broad. That's not very concrete. That's not very specific. Services. I want to help position your business or organization to be a leader in building God's kingdom through his high-quality written content and materials. All right, very straightforward. I wouldn't change anything here. I think I would just take out the by Renee Griswold. You don't need to. It's not an article. So I would take that out. Let's get down to business. Contact me page, Kingdom Business. I like that. Here's how you can reach me. Perfect. There you go. So hopefully that was helpful. Let me know if you got any follow-up questions, Renee. Good job getting it out there. All right. Next up, we got two more. Gladys Roller. Let's go to her website. Let me jot down when I did this so I can timestamp it. All right, Gladys Roller, educator writing for education. Again, guys, if you want to follow along, the website review thread, the Facebook forum, just go to the comments area. You'll see where I am, Gladys's website. Educator writing for education. All right, I stumped a little bit with the tagline, educator writing for education, because of the way the words are used. I had to read it three times. So I'd have to think about that, but I think you can make that a little bit clearer. Those are one of those things you have to brainstorm. Educator writing for education. Seasoned educator. I'll have to give that some thought, but it's a little confusing. All right, let's look at the overall look and feel. Very nice, very clean, professional. Under 200 words a copy, yes. Let's look at the headline, Work with an Education Insider. Rise to the top of your class with a skilled education copywriter on your team. Yeah. So at first I thought, we're missing, this is a little broad, Work with an Education Insider in what capacity, but then you went ahead and cleared it up that you're a copywriter. And I like the rise to the top of your class. That's very clever. Okay. Body copy. I help educational companies, publishers, and educational technology companies write marketing content. Like other writers, I have been in executive leadership and a professor in universities. So I don't think this is, it feels like it's not parallel. Unlike other writers, I have been in educational leadership and a professor in university. So I have been a professor. Okay, yeah, it is parallel. I speak the language of school administrators and understand the needs of faculty and students. I use my experience to tap in the mindset of decision makers with persuasive writing. I deliver on time every time and get it right the first time. Okay, so what it is you do, yes. Whom you work for, whom you target, yes. Educational companies, what makes you different, yes. Perfect. I mean, you did it very concisely, so yeah, that's great. Less is more, and did a very good job of that. So let's look at your Why Me page. I like that you broke it down. It's easier to digest, easy to skim. I was your customer. Your company is innovative and provides top-notch products and solutions to the educational world. You're committed to to success in your customers. Although your vision is clear, you may not always have clarity on how to communicate. Okay, so here's what I'm seeing. This first area, I was your customer. The copy below it doesn't really speak to that. You know, I thought I knew where you were going, but instead, this is really more challenge copy. Hey, this is what you're facing, and this is why that's a problem, and this is why this is the impact it's having, and my specialty is helping you bridge that gap. But it doesn't really speak to the fact that you used to be in their shoes. I would actually replace that copy and just speak to the fact that you used to be their customer. So that's a very interesting idea, and I would write copy that speaks to that, that expands on that. I think that would be very powerful, and it would definitely be what I would lead with on this page. So this is really – some of this copy could go up in your homepage to set up the above what you have now. So it could be the challenge copy that then presents the solution, which is what you have on your homepage right now, because you go straight into the solution. I help educational companies, publishers, and educational technology companies write marketing content. So you could just don't get rid of it. That might be a good place for it, and then instead expand on this idea that I was your customer. Okay, and you have that copy. Now I see it down here, but this almost feels like your homepage copy, Gladys. You have the challenge, and then, hi, I'm your writer. I have this kind of experience, which is what makes me different. Here's how I can help you, and what you know why that's different. Difference matters. This really is structured more like your homepage. So here's what I would do. I would figure out the two or three core differentiators that you have, and I would organize this page by those three areas, three buckets. I was your customer. I have this, and I have that. And then write a paragraph or two under each one of those that speaks to those three differentiators. Because right now, this is really more like homepage copy, okay? And you could reuse a lot of this on the Why Me page. For instance, the second half of your Why Me page, I have over 20 years of experience in education and have earned a PhD in education. I've been a student, a professor, director of marketing, registrar. This is really impressive, yeah. With experiences in many major functions of school, I see both the big picture and other functional needs. Yeah, this is great. So it's here. You got a lot of the fodder here. Now it's just really grouping it into two or three sections on your Why Me page, writing a subheadline for each, and moving some of these things around on the page and where they belong, where they would best fit. All right. Services page is giving me an error. You may want to look into that. I don't know what. Let's see the contact page. All right, contact page is working. Yeah. You may want to add a little bit of copy there. Hey, contact me to discuss your next project or something along those lines. Just invite them. It does make a little bit of a difference, you know, if you just go ahead and instead of just putting your contact information. So hope that makes sense. Again, we just like with any of you guys, we can talk about it. If you got any questions, if you're on the call, happy to go through this with you. Great job overall. All right, and last but not least, we have Cheryl. And let me just timestamp this. Cheryl, okay, overall look and feel, very nice, clean. I like this. I like this this design. Under 200 words, yes. Let's look at the headline. Writing services for B2B vendors targeting law firms and legal-related companies. Great headline. Very clear, to the point. No fluff words in here. You just all these words count. So I would give this, an A minus. You know, on the border of B plus, A minus, more like an A minus. All right. I am your target market. An insider's perspective on knowing what your business audiences want, how they think, the buying process, how they make decisions, whether to purchase. I think there's something missing here in the body copy. So the headline reads, I am your target market. And then you go in straight into an insider's perspective on knowing what your business audiences want, how they think, the buying process, how they make their decisions on whether they purchase your product or services or choose some other company. I think it needs something like I have. I have an insider's perspective as a blah, 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 comma. I have an insider's perspective on knowing what your audience businesses want, how they think. So there's something missing there at the beginning because you go straight into an insider's perspective, I was confused there. It helps to have an insider with a practical working experience where marketing your product services to law firms or legal-related entities. A little bit on the long side, that first sentence on the second paragraph, I would break that up. Someone with 30-plus years in the trenches assisting managing partners in small. Okay, so I think what would help here, Cheryl, is if you go ahead and introduce yourself. I can help. I have an insider's perspective with practical working experience marketing your products and services. I have, this includes over 30 years in the trenches assisting. So what you haven't done is you haven't introduced yourself, right? In order to do that, you may have to rework some of the copy, but I would say, here's how I would kind of structure this message here, the copy on your website. When you're marketing to law firms and legal-related companies, it really helps to work with a writer with an insider, somebody who's worked there, who knows the ins and outs of these organizations. That's where I can help you. My name is Cheryl Dunway. I have an insider's perspective on knowing what your business audiences want, how they think, the buying process, how they make their decisions. I have over 30-plus years in the trenches assisting managing partners in small, medium, and large-sized law firms, as well as C-suite executives with the task of day-to-day management and administration of a company. So some of those you're going to have to break up. They're a little bit too long, but you see what I'm saying? So that is the what I do, for whom, and what makes me different. And then a call to action, which you have. Let's talk. Call to schedule a no-pressure explanatory consultation or use the contact form at the bottom of this page. Okay, so that's how I would structure it, and that kind of takes care of most of the feedback that I've given you so far. It's really just kind of reshuffling this and making sure that it flows and engages that reader. All right, let's go to the About page. About, working knowledge. So Cheryl, Why you? Glad you asked. I can offer my clients over 30-plus years' experience in the management of law firms and legal departments of corporations. I know firsthand the ins and outs of what's involved in day-to-day management of a successful law firm. I've had to don many, many hats, everything from that pit bull reception. Okay. So, I would break this second sentence up from I've had to don many hats all the way to and which one doesn't. You could still, it's not going to be grammatically perfect, but that's not the point. Some of these could be fragments, and then that's okay, but you want to keep that rhythm. You want to make it punchy. You want to keep make it flow a little better. Right now, it's really long. The other thing I notice is the type is kind of small. I don't know if there's anything you can do in this theme about it, but if you can, I got a pretty big monitor, and it's showing up really, really small. So, and anything smaller, like a phone, well, it might render differently on a phone, but if it's a laptop or something, it's going to be really, really small. All right, below are some of the unique skills and experience I can offer to my clients. Grace under fire. Maintaining confidentiality. Yeah, okay. Superior research and analytical skills. Clear and compelling writing style. Team player that's motivated and disciplined. Yeah, that's good. Somewhere in here, I know it might seem obvious, but I wouldn't assume. Somewhere in here, you may want to state that you can just hit the ground running, something to that effect. It's because you have this experience, you have in that insider knowledge, and you're going to be better equipped than someone who is not familiar with the ins and outs. So, again, it's implied, but I would go ahead and just say it outright. And I would do it earlier in the page, before your list of the different ways you can help your clients. All right, so let's go to services. Insider. And, I mean, plus that's your theme, right? Insider. So you want to keep playing on that theme. Here's a partial list of my services. Oh, I like the way you organize this. This is nice. Email campaigns. Okay, case studies. I like that you kept these descriptions short. Please remember the above partial list. The most, yep. Okay. Good stuff. Nothing to really suggest on the services page. Contact. Let's chat. Contact me to discuss your next project. Need service for along. You know, the only thing I would suggest here, Cheryl, is I wouldn't require too much of the prospect. So right now, there's a lot of things that you're asking them to do in the contact form. And what you want is you want to remove obstacles. You want people to just go ahead and contact you. You know, you can deal with that later. Just I would instead say, you know, use the form below. You can contact me at email and phone to the right, or feel free to fill out the form below and tell me a little bit about your project or challenge. So reduce the friction to contacting you. When you start putting requirements, and those become obstacles, and now it feels like work, and you don't want that. You can ask those questions later. Just get them to contact you. Once they contact you, you have a lead. So don't get in the way of generating that lead. So great job. Again, this is almost there. These changes are not drastic. All right, guys. So, again, you can submit your website for review anytime during our work together in the program. There's no deadline. So if you're not there yet, just go ahead and just give yourself a deadline. And when you're ready, go ahead and upload it as a comment in the website review thread. Give me your URL. Or if you're not there yet but you want me to review it on a Word document, that's fine too. Upload it to the files section of the forum. In the upper left corner of the forum, you'll see a menu. One of the items in the navigation is files. Upload it there in a Word document. All I ask is you put it all in one Word document, not one document for each page. And then go ahead and post a comment on the website review thread letting me know that it's there. That way I'll see it, and the next call I can review it for you. Everyone gets one review, and I hope you're finding these helpful. Some of you commented that the review has been really, really helpful, so happy to do that for you. All right, Renee said, great, she's here. Renee, thank you so much for your feedback on my website. I took detailed notes and we'll make those changes. At the beginning, you said it isn't clear who I help. My tagline at the top of each page is Elite Writing for Christian Organizations. How would you suggest I change the tagline? Or are you saying I need to explicitly state that in the copy also? Yeah, great point. This is why it's good for me to give me my first impressions, because I missed that. And maybe I saw it quickly, but I wasn't paying attention. So you can't assume too much, and this goes out for everybody, by the way. This goes to everybody. You need to be very concrete and clear throughout your website. I know it might sound repetitive when you say some of the same things from page to page, but again, people don't read websites in a linear fashion. They jump around. So you have to make sure that wherever you catch them, it's very clear whom you're speaking to. So Elite Writing for Christian Organizations might work as a tagline, but in the copy I was struggling to find, okay, you know, do I qualify? Who is this for? So make that clear. And you might even want to go on one of the pages, not all the pages, be on one of the pages, you might want to describe who that is, including X, Y, and Z. So for instance, for Christian organizations, including churches, Christian-based ministries, da-da-da-da-da-da. Let them know, you know, in case they're wondering. Mike Corner just posted that the website, it's not church marketing stinks, it's church marketing sucks. So even you guys... Yeah. Even more in your face. Yeah. All right. Susan asked, Ed, I have a follow-up question about the business license questions asked earlier. Would you mind sharing about being incorporated or LLC or whatever you recommend? I'm really uneducated on this end of things. What are the advantages to go with one of those? Yeah, great question. All right, so first I'll say I'm unqualified to give you advice in that area just because I'm not an accountant and I'm not an attorney. Not only that, but the laws are different in every state, the different variations on your business structure, too many complexities, there's just no straight answer. And it's almost like politics and religion. Anyone you ask is going to give you a different answer on what they believe. My advice is this, and then I'll give you some more. I can talk about my situation, but my advice is to find an accountant. One of the first things I did is when I launched my business, again, not a stalling tactic. It wasn't, well, I'm going to take the next few weeks to find an accountant, and then maybe I'll start prospecting. No. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep moving through this program, but in parallel, try to find somebody else. Try to find an accountant. Here's what I did. I locally just asked friends and colleagues, And somebody who was also self-employed, I reached out to her to see if she – I reached out to quite a few people, but I remember a friend of mine said, oh, yeah, we've been using this guy for a long time. We really like him because he understands my business. He works with a lot of small businesses. So I reached out to him, and sure enough, 90% of his clients are small business owners or consultants and other solo professionals. He gave me a free 30, 45-minute consultation. I came in with some specific questions, and I just liked them. We clicked. That's really what you're looking for. You're looking not just for, as best as you can tell, a good fit in terms of, you know, the types of clients they have and the type of work you do. You want to make sure, because I used to have somebody who they only worked with bigger companies and really high-paid executives, and that wasn't me. So guess what? I was never an important client to them. They just didn't really understand what I was doing. I wasn't important. They didn't treat me well. This guy, he's used to working with people like me. I like that. I just personally, I clicked with him, and I've been with him for 13 years. So just ask. These days, it's even easier to find accountants. Since so many people are online, and you can just do some searches. If you don't know anyone locally, you might be able to ask. But I bet if you ask around, you'll find somebody. And then that becomes someone – I think of an accountant as an extension to your business. In a way, they're a partner. I partner with my accountant. It's not someone that I just pay fees to and, you know, they do this low-level work for me. Not at all. I see him and his team as someone who's an integral part of my business. The reason – I say start there is the advice about your business legal structure will in large part be based on your accountant's philosophy and how they're going to work with you. Because based on how they think they can help you, the legal structure you go with will impact the advice they give you and how they're able to help you. So that is a great starting point. And so now let's go to my example. I asked him the same question. He said, look, you're just getting started. You know, you have a few clients. I've had not too many. I was generating a little bit of income, but, you know, in the hundreds of dollars a month, not even $1,000 a month. He said, here's what I suggest. Stay as a sole proprietor right now. When you reach this level of income, he gave me a number, on an annualized basis, call me. And then let's look at it again, but we're probably going to go with, you know, this. And, again, I'm not even going to get into that. It was just my specific situation, his philosophy, where we live, the state of Georgia, you know. But notice that it's a holistic decision based on a number of variables. So that's why I say start there. Having said that, let's talk about the practical side of all this. Again, I'm not an attorney. This is not legal advice or financial advice. But I have found that people who take who really want to dig deep into this, it becomes a stalling tactic, subconsciously many times. Get out there, start knocking on doors, start landing some business. You can start doing business right now as a sole proprietor. And once you connect with an accountant, then you can have that discussion and figure out if it makes sense to make the switch now or later, and if so, when that point should be. So make sure it just doesn't become something you stall on. There's all kinds of different combinations out there, and only your accountant will be able to make the right recommendation. And one thing that I've seen some people do is they hire an attorney and they hire an accountant, who then they don't know each other. That's a really tough situation. I really believe that you're better off working with an accountant, and then they can look at your situation and then recommend an attorney for you who can go ahead and register your business in whatever structure they recommend. All right, let me make sure I didn't miss any questions here. All right, Gordy says, I apologize, but I'm totally new to websites. I've never built one. If you outsource maintenance of your website to a virtual assistant on a contract basis, are there any security issues to be concerned with? No, not really. And you know what? I'll check in with Crystal on that. But typically what you do, you have to – so here's the deal. You have to give them access to your web host account. I mean, there's just no way around that. What I've done in the past when I've worked with before I built a team and I worked with a virtual assistant to help me with this, with my website, I went ahead and gave them all the access to my web hosting company, my websites, my WordPress login, and so forth. And then they did what they had to do. And then once our work was completed, guess what I did? I changed my username and password on all those accounts. So that's really the most practical way of doing it. You know, is somebody going to go in there and do damage? No. I mean, this is what they do for a living. They're not going to be able to get into your financial accounts or anything crazy like that, or, you know, steal your identity, nothing like that, Gordy. So it's really a situation where the access they have is limited to just your website, and I guess they could mess it up. But, I mean, they're going to have to log in there to do their work. And once they're done, then once the work is done, you can go ahead and change your login information. Very, very common. All right, so again, star 2, if you're on the phone and have a question, or if you're on a web call, or you can type in your question. And on the call page, just make sure it's on the call page, not on the Facebook forum, because I'll miss it there. Susan says, super helpful. Thanks. Good. I'm glad that was helpful. You know, the time really to start looking for an accountant is now. I think it's one of those things that it's a good investment. I 3 or 4 years after I hired him, I started outsourcing my bookkeeping to his team as well. And now they do everything for me. They do all my filing, all my bookkeeping. I just quarterly send them a big stack of statements. Everything's organized a certain way. And they're able to take that information and just enter it all into QuickBooks, which is on the cloud. They send me all my reports, financial reports. It's fantastic. That is something that I don't enjoy doing. And somebody else can do it better, faster, cheaper. Perfect example of outsourcing. Now, I will say at first when you're starting out, you know, if money is extremely tight and you don't mind doing some of this work, then I think that's fine. I did my own bookkeeping for 3 or 4 years. But after a while, I was earning enough that I said, you know what, I'd rather spend that time on billable work. I don't enjoy doing this. All right, star two. I don't see any raised hands. So if you've raised your hand or you think you did, I'm not seeing it right now. Just try again, star two, if that's you. All right, I believe this is Gladys. Gladys, is that you?
Yes. Hi, Ed. I kept on pressing on the wrong keyboard or wrong keypad.
Oh, sorry. Well, it worked that time.
Yeah, it worked that time. It's just the iPhone has like two different, don't worry about it. Anyway, I was going to be live with you when you were going through my website, but you answered most of my questions already, but I do have one question left.
Sure.
For the tagline, instead of doing something clever, which you found confusing, and it's kind of hard to read because there's two kind of education there. Would it just suffice to say education copywriter? I mean, that's clear.
I think that's clear, or copywriter for the education industry.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah. You know, I know the tendency among writers and marketers is to go the clever route and find something that just that just has a ring to it and is clever, has double meaning and all that. Those things are really hard to find. You might find it, but in the meantime, what I would do is I would go with simple. Simple
right.
and clear.
Okay.
And then eventually you'll
okay.
come up with something that's clever. And then at that point, you
okay.
can decide if, you know, if it makes sense to change it.
Because there, I mean, there's no doubt if I put education copywriter or copywriter for the education industry, I mean, that's just clear what I do. So maybe that I'll just go with that for now.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. And you were saying that the challenge copy on the Why Me page probably better belongs on the front page or on the home page. So what
yes.
if I just... So what if right after or at the top of the Why Me page, so all of the copy from the bottom I can just push to the top and rework a little bit to put in the three differentiators just using whatever I have. But I guess I could start with, hi, I'm Gladys Roller. I was your customer. And then go into the differentiators.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
You just want to keep it to your differentiators, and if you can group them like that into two or three, you don't have to do it that way. I mean, if there's really just one and then you have a lot of detail on that one, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll find that you probably have at least two in here that
mm-hmm.
you can play with, and then take the challenge copy that's at the top of the page and move that to the home page.
You know, I know that when I'm looking at websites, even if it's under 200 characters, I'm just skimming. So I see
yeah.
the value in, you know, putting in, you know, just 3 points or 2 points, just something easy and simple that people can skim. Like, I know I have 5 short paragraphs, but still, if I'm just skimming, I'm probably not reading a whole lot of it. So I see the value in that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
okay.
then your challenge copy too. When you move it, that would be an opportunity to go ahead and before you move it, take another look at it.
Okay.
So let's look at this again. Your company is innovative and provides top-notch products and solutions to the educational world. Second paragraph. Although your vision is clear, instead of your company, you've already said company a couple of times. Although your
okay.
vision is clear. I may not always have the clarity in how to communicate that to your client in academia. Yeah. I'm wondering, though, because we talked about this last week, right, this concept of the translator.
Mm-hmm.
You bridge that gap, you translate. What if you instead focus the challenge on that?
Okay.
You know, so right now it's kind of a big picture challenge. You know, you got this. You got these innovative products, but you may not. The explanation is not always clear to your target audience. What if you instead went with, you know, when you're trying to just stick to the writing part. You know, when you're trying to communicate the awesome things you do. Sometimes that's difficult to do, and it's difficult to work with a writer who can't bridge that gap, is either saying exactly what you're saying or is missing the point. You know,
okay.
I can bridge that gap. I'm that translator. I've been on both sides, and I'm an expert at taking what you have and translating it to this audience. I don't know, something along those lines. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does. I'm taking notes here. Okay. Yeah.
So rather
okay.
than a big picture challenge, you just bring it down to the level that you're starting out with, which is the writing.
Okay.
That's why many of the examples that I showed you or that I gave out was really more about, you know, one of the challenges of working with an outside writer is that they don't, they may not know your industry very well. So they miss the nuances that are going to make your message stand out. Well,
mm-hmm.
that's where I can help.
Okay. Okay. That's
because
very
when you
helpful.
Think about it, you're going to be prospecting You're not going to be going to the VP level or C level. You're going straight to marketing director, marketing manager, and this is something that they're heavily involved with every day, right? It's the writing and working with writers. So there's no shame in just going straight to that level. Now, you happen to bring even much more than that to the table, and that's really valuable. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you have more than that, that's awesome, but let's go straight to what they're concerned about, because the marketing manager, for instance, is worried about getting these projects out the door, right? And then you happen to have all this experience and background. That's just gravy.
Okay, I get it. So I'm actually, So in my thinking, I'm talking directly to the marketing manager who is in dire need of good copy, and they're not really thinking big picture. So I'm not talking directly to them in this copy here on the, what I have right here. I'm hearing you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's, I mean, you are in a way, because they have to, you know, that's a directive from above. But the day-to-day problem is like, man, you know, I've worked with three writers already, and they just, I mean, I know they work in education, some of them, but they just haven't been there, you know. So it's really hard for them to understand and to connect with the people we're trying to connect with. Suddenly you come along and saying, yeah, I hear you, right? Isn't that hard? Guess what? Not only have I been there, but one of my gifts is being the translator, because I've been on both sides, but that's not enough. I have more than that. I have the skill of being able to write for these two different audiences.
Okay.
Communicate with one and translate that to the audience you really want to target.
Okay. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, great job here. I mean, I don't think this change is going to be that drastic. I think it's going to flow out of you pretty quickly.
Okay. And then just the final, very, I don't know if this is a preference thing or not, but I see that a lot of people have their pictures on the homepage. Do you think that, is it neither here nor there? Is it helpful to immediately put a face to a name?
You know, that's a subjective thing.
My
preference for this type of website is to not do it on the homepage and use it on either Why Me page, About page, or Contact page.
Okay.
And I don't know where that comes from. I you know where I think it is? I think it might have something to do with, like, real estate agents. You know how real estate agents are, like, so big into their headshot?
Yes.
Like, they plaster their headshot everywhere. Yeah. It's like, man. Right. And they're the worst headshots. I'm sorry if somebody here is a realtor, but they're like, you know, they got their, like, fist under their chin. And, like, they're standing in a natural position. It's just so overdone that, I don't know, I think it's just cheesy. So I'm not saying this. If any of you guys have it on your homepage, keep it there. This is just me. I prefer to keep it really focused on them there and me as a solution. And then on the page where we're digging a little deeper. Okay, oh, you want to learn more about me? Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit more. So it kind of is congruent with what's happening on that page from a copy standpoint, where you're getting into more personal stuff, especially if you have some stuff about you and your likes and hobbies. And, you know, on a personal note, I really like sailing and golfing, and then it works.
Right. Okay. All right. Just wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question.
The other question, too.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Gladys. The other question I get asked, too, is from the other opposite question is, do I really need to have a picture there? I just don't. I don't like the way I look, or I'm still, I know for years, I didn't, you know, this is, I'll share a secret with you guys. I didn't want to redo my website for a long time, not only because I didn't know what I wanted and I didn't know where to start, but also because I wanted to lose X number of pounds before I had, you know, some pictures taken. And so, I, you know, what do? Ironically, I got it done when I was the heaviest. since then I've lost weight. But, you know, I'm not going to redo it. Forget it. So, yeah, I don't think you need to have it if you feel like, you know, I'm just not a picture person. I think that's fine. Don't worry about it. Cheryl says, thanks for the review. Great feedback. I suspect that there was something missing but could not put my finger on it. Now it's clear. Awesome. Glad that helped, Cheryl. Again, guys, star two if you have a question. I don't see any raised hands right now. So, like Gladys, if you thought you raised it, it's not showing up, so try again. And if I'm still not seeing it, just go ahead and type your question on the call page inside the training portal. All right, I don't see any more questions. Let me just do one last call. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Last call for questions, star two, where you can type it in. And while I'm waiting, just give you a preview into next week. So this is our implementation week again. This is the time to catch up. Just do your best catching up. It's going to be worth it. Seriously, if you just spend, even if you feel you're behind, if you spend the next few days catching up, you got the weekend coming up, you're going to be glad you did. You really are. Next week, we're going to move into some new material. So this is the only implementation week in the program, and now we're going to start what I call the prospecting phase of the program. So here's what we got. Next week, we're going to assess your best starting point based on your specific situation and then start building your starter list. So we're going to talk about that next week, and then the following week, we're going to start prospecting. So based on what you came up with in the previous session, you're going to have four different options that you can go with. And you'll know exactly, based on how you scored in your gut readiness check and based on what you uncovered in next week's session. So session five, which is week after next, you're going to know exactly how to get started. I'm going to give you kind of a quick start into what I call the friends and family email, and then the warm email prospecting. I'm going to give you a mega crash course on that. I say mega and that I'm really condensing it to the bare bones in what you need to get going quickly and to start getting results fast. So your homework right now should be pretty clear. It's just to catch up. That way you can start fresh on Monday when I release session four, the next training, and then you can get going. Don't forget, you can continue to ask questions in the forum every week. We have a new Q&A thread. I'm there pretty much every business day, so just ask away. I'm here to help you. And then every week I also post a check-in thread, just where you can let me know how things are going, where you are in the process. A lot of people use that as accountability. They just say, hey, well, next time Ed asks, I want to make sure I have an answer for him. So feel free to do that. And if you need me to hold you accountable for anything in here, I know that takes a lot of courage, but feel free to ask. I'm here for you. I want you to be successful. So however I can do that, just please let me know. I'm happy to hold you accountable to anything you have. All right, guys, I don't see any other questions. We'll go ahead and wrap up for today. Great session today. Just very encouraged by the progress you guys are making. These websites, they look fantastic. Great job. You really should pat yourself on the back. And, man, if anything this weekend, you know, have a glass of wine, a beer, a coffee, whatever, and just to celebrate. That's a big, big milestone. I've said it before. This is probably the first big stumbling block for most new freelancers, is getting that website up and running. And if you've gotten over that, that's big. So congratulations. You guys have a great rest of the day and a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk again next week. Take care.